Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Persuasion Call. My name is Kurt Mortensen, and today we're going to talk about, obviously, persuasion and influence and things to help you out. We've had some time off vacation and other things that happened. We are going to be changing the format of the call. We're looking at different times, and that works better for everybody in different days, and we want to add the webinar format so there's more visual, so we'll keep you up to date on that and keep you posted on that as we get more people to join us. So that's happening. We'll let you know about the changes in the conference call and how that works. But let's get you some good persuasion information. So I hope everyone's taking notes and getting ready to learn how to apply it. Because information is one thing, but of course the application, that's a big part of it. The information versus the implementation is huge. So in the past, we've talked about the foot in the door technique. Today, I want to talk about the door in the face technique. And these are fancy terms coined by social psychologists. And they are proven principles at work. It's human nature. A lot of things we don't think about, it's just how they are. And this has a lot to do with pricing. Remember, when you get to pricing and they say it's too expensive, you've blown your presentation. When you get to the price, you need to remember a couple things. First of all, that when you get to price, they should think, well, that's it. That's an incredible deal. Otherwise, you've blown your presentation. That's what we need to talk about today. And understand, too, big complaint against persuaders is when a lot of persuaders get close to price or get close to asking for people's business, what happens is their demeanor changes a little bit. They get a little tense. And the people sense this, and it's actually freaking them out because they're seeing who's the true person here, who's the real persuader, and you have to make sure you realize that you're persuading all the way through your presentation, and you should not tense up or change demeanor when you get close to price. That's very important to understand. So let's talk about this door in the face. Basically, what it talks about is that we need to be able to contrast. This is part of the law of contrast, and this is used heavily in negotiations, this is used heavily in real estate, is that your first request you make very, very high. Now, you want to make it as high as you can because let's take negotiation, for example.
Kurt, you're breaking up.
To negotiate. People are coming to the table to negotiate, and there needs to be room to negotiate. You might want to be you don't want to negotiate, you're going to come out with a fair price, but in real estate especially, people are coming to the table, whatever you lead off with, they know there's going to be room to negotiate, so you need to give them room. So here's the rule. It should be as high as possible without going too much into the insult zone to where they won't ever talk to you again, and it's just way too high or way too low. Now, the way that works, it's important that if you come up with a price, let's use real estate for example. If you say, well, I'll offer you $250,000 or whatever it is, you need to have some type of standard. How did you reach that number? Even if it's your own personal formula, you let them know, well, based on my formula, I've been doing this for a while, this is the number I reached. That is going to cushion any of the insult zone that you're in. So be careful. So start as high as possible, and when you do with that, you know they're going to reject it, but they are more, I'm going to put this there, probably easier for them to take your second offer or third offer. Let me give you some studies, some background on this, and then we'll open it up for some questions if you need to. This was done on a university level. There's a couple studies here that are fascinating. They went up to college students and said, hey, will you donate blood every 2 months for 3 years? And that is just a lot too much for people. So every 2 months for 3 years, it was a long-term commitment, but there was a physical and emotional responsibility there, and it was just too overwhelming. Most people said no. Then the next day, the same different set of students were asked, well, will you donate blood today? Now, here's what's happening. Here are the numbers. When people went up to students and say, hey, will you donate blood every 2 months for 3 years, it was around 30% that said they would. That's pretty high. But when they used the door in the face and they said first, hey, will you donate blood every 2 months for 3 years? No. And they said, well, would you be willing to donate today? The compliance almost doubled. It almost doubled. They've done this with surveys. Hey, will you do a 2-hour survey? No. Hey, how about a 15-minute survey? It doubles the compliance. Another one that I like was done with students, and it was in a psychology department. They went to the students and said, hey, will you participate? They said, this is what they said the first time. Will you participate in a study this Saturday at 6 a.m. on sensory perception? Well, they got 25% to say yes. I mean, that's a pretty big thing for a college student, this Saturday study. Then what they did is they said, hey, will you participate in a study? They got the no. Okay, then they said, will you participate this Saturday at 6 o'clock? And they made it a little easier. They made it a little bit later, and so people were willing to do that. Again, study after study shows that when you start with that high request, you get that second request. It's just how it is. So the interesting thing is on those studies is that people would show up. When they committed, they did show up, and that's something that's called the door in the face technique. Very important, especially in real estate, especially in negotiation. It's what we call the contrast. It gives a room for bargaining. There was even, for example, someone comes to your door and asks for a donation, let's say, for the local scouting program, and you say, all right, and you know, you're pulling a couple bucks out of your pocket, and they say, well, you know, your neighbor just gave us 50 bucks. That's also contrast because that changes the amount of the donation. That's how people are contrasted. And that's what you're thinking about. So if you have a way to contrast, use real estate, for example. And a lot of real estate agents have been beat up for this to where they, and you need to be aware of this, they'll show you a property. You want a property that's, say, $200,000, and they'll show you a property that's $200,000 in a bad neighborhood. It's run down. It's not very nice. And then they show you the next property, which is $200,000 in a good neighborhood, and it's nice, and it's all fixed up. They do that because it kind of contrasts you where the second one looks nicer than it actually is. They do this with photographs. If you show photographs of very, very attractive women to men and then show average-looking women, they'll rate the average-looking women worse than they actually are. If you show them a picture of a not very attractive woman and then you show them pictures of the average women, they'll rate them higher. So you have to understand what goes first, what goes second, and how you do that. Another concept with that, too, is what they call the JND, which is what they call just noticeable difference. And this is all about human perception. One of the best examples, if you take a look at yogurt, if you buy yogurt in the store, the single-serving yogurt, if you turn them over, you'll notice that the whole bottom's concave because, you know, do you really know the difference between 21 ounces and 21.5 ounces and 20 ounces? And what they've noticed in marketing is that it's easier to take out an ounce of yogurt than it is to raise the price because people don't notice. They change the packaging. People don't notice. And so perception is everything when we talk about pricing, when we talk about showing property, when we talk about showing people your business and network marketing. They are always comparing because they are looking at your product or service and they're comparing it to something else. That's where the setup properties come in. When you are talking about this, that's why you'll see it in the retail setting. We're talking this about the comparison effect, where if you go in to buy a piano or a car, let's use a car. You say you go buy a car and you say, I want to spend $20,000 on a car, they're going to show you the $40,000 car because chances are you're going to leave with a $30,000 car. They've done this with TVs. You go in to buy the $1,000 television, plasma, or whatever it is. They're going to show you the $5,000 one because you're going to leave with the $2,000 one. The study is actually done with billiard tables. The actual numbers is when they showed, people were brought in and they were shown the cheapest tables possible. These were pool tables, okay? The first 1 week they just showed them the cheapest tables possible. Then they showed them the more expensive. And the average sale was around $550. Now, the second week, what they did is they showed them the most expensive table first and then gradually went down to the cheaper tables, and the average sale price was $1,000 a table. So pretty much doubled by showing the higher ticket items first. We see this also with funeral directors. They're going to show you the most expensive model first, you know, the casket with the stereo and the speakers and the restrooms or whatever it is, and Then they're going to show you the pine box that's known as contrast. So here's the key to the way to use this. Very important, especially in negotiation. You want to start as high as you can without being too insulting. How high can you start? So if you're showing somebody a home-based business, you show them it starts out, it's a $5,000 business, and then they might be able to get it in for $1,000. So when you get to the price, you've built the value, then it becomes a no-brainer for them to join. Start as high as possible. For example, fundraising organizations often send letters asking for donations in the amounts that are usually pretty high for most people's pocketbooks. There'll be a little checkbox that says $1,000, $2,000. And they know people will say no, but then later another letter will come, and they place a follow-up telephone call, and they will say, did you receive the letter? And they'll ask for a smaller donation if they didn't get one in the first place. The key with this one, too, is understanding timing. Your two numbers need to be presented sequentially. Okay? You can't say have one price one week and another price next week. They need to be pretty close in sequence. That is the key to this. Start high without getting too insulting. Make sure the timing is one right after the other. So what this is used for is to build value for your product or service. Remember, when they say it's too expensive, you've blown your presentation, or they don't like you and it's a knee-jerk reaction and it's a lie, they're just trying to run away. That's how it is. So when you hear this, we've got some things to work on. One way to do that is understanding door in the face. You'll see this on laundry detergent in the supermarket. They'll have the price on it, $10, and it'll be crossed out. You'll see this on clothing, where let's say it's a 50% off sale. They'll have the dress for $200, and you'll still see it. And the one below it will say $150, and the one below it will say $125. And so your perception of value starts at $200. You'll see this on infomercials. Because the moment you see something, or anybody sees a home or a product or service, they're going to establish a value for it. So if you're watching an infomercial late at night, and you can see something, and you say, well, let's say it's a George Foreman grill. So you see this George Foreman grill, and you're like, yeah, I'd pay $50 for that. You just throw out a price in your mind. And then all of a sudden, it's $200. They're establishing a value. It's easier to go down than go up. So they've established the value at $200, but then there's a special. If you buy it a day, discount, 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 and they bring it down to, say, $60, $70. And then, part of contrast, too, they say, but wait, there's more. So not only do you get a $200 George Foreman grill for $60, you get another $100 in valuable bonuses. That works very, very well in establishing the value. Always start high. And to rookie persuaders, that's very difficult for them because they want to get right to the bargain. You want to start high. It's okay if you get that initial no in this situation when you're establishing the value, because then you can go down and then you can always add value. Always start high. I can't reiterate the point enough, especially with negotiation. You know, a lot of people say, no, I don't want to negotiate. I'm just going to come with the price. And they do that, and what happens is the other side wants to negotiate. That hurts the negotiation process. Another mistake with this, the negotiation process, and the mindset there you need to understand, is when the mindset of negotiation, which is different than persuasion, is they're up for a fight. There's got to be some give and take. So let's say you're selling a home, and you're willing to take $225,000 for it, and you have it listed at $250,000. So there's some wiggle room there. And the person comes up and says, "I'll give you $234,000, just $5,000 more than you expect." And you say, "I'll take it." That's bad for a couple reasons. First of all, you could probably got a much better price if because of the wiggle room they're expecting to negotiate. Second of all, that's going to trigger buyer's remorse because you accepted too soon. Now, again, negotiation's different than persuasion. In negotiation, they're expecting some type of a fight. Now, it's not really a fight, but that's what we'll call it. So if you accept too soon, there will be remorse. They're wondering, wow, I could have got a better offer. Why did they accept? Is there something wrong? Did I do something wrong? And they'll just think about it too much. So never accept the first offer. A, because there's room to negotiate, and B, it triggers incredible buyer's remorse. That's just how it is. Establishing that value is going to be critical. So let's review that again. It's called door in the face. You're starting as high as you can. Doesn't matter what your product or service is, or if it's on the internet, you start as high as you can to establish the value. Or on the flip side, it could be as low as you can if you're doing real estate or something else. But you're coming up with that number that's not getting into the insult zone where you have some type of way where you've reached that number, that standard, and sold that number before. That's what my formula shows. That's what the comps show. Start as high. You know you're going to get the no. And then you come back in for a second request, and that usually doubles your chance of compliance when you do it the right way. Make sure the timing. It has to be done sequentially. It can't be done in different phone calls. Well, you probably could in the same day, but not, you know, a week apart. It's up to you to establish that value. What I want you to think about this week as you look at your product or service, what you do is how can you establish that value, number one. And number two, how can you come up with the highest or lowest number possible and prove that number without hitting the insult zone, and then what is going to be your sequential request? Some social psychologists call this the sequential request theory, if you wanted to know. So that is door in the face. You establish the value. And you'll even see this, we'll take numbers aside, you'll even see this type of thing in pictures. If you look at the diet products, the before and after picture, that is contrast. What that is the before picture is black and white. They're frowning. Their belly's just hanging over. They look terrible. They look sad. It's kind of fuzzy. The after picture's clear. It's in color. They're sucking it up. They smile. And usually you don't notice that, but when you really look, that is contrast because it makes the difference between the first one and the second one that dramatic. I was even watching an infomercial. They were selling a product helping children read, and when the child was having a problem reading, it was black and white, it was kind of fuzzy, it wasn't dressed very well, his hair was all over the place. But when he had learned how to read, it was clear, it was in color, he had the nice clothes on, it was actually a suit, his hair was combed. And those are subtle things that most people don't notice when they're not looking for it, but that is also under contrast between the before and after. That is what you're looking for. So with that, let's open it up. Are there any questions? So just to remind everyone, we are going to be looking at changing formats and changing a few things, adding some more bells and whistles, making the recordings easier to access. We're adding the visual portion and a few other things that we're working on. We will notify you when that happens, and we'll be having some other guests, another two people we'll be interviewing, so we're changing that format up a little bit. One last chance. Are there any more questions?
Kurt.
Yeah.
What was the third step again? Okay, so you got establish a value, room to negotiate, and then the third one was what again?
Well, part of that with that, too, is that you make sure you wrote down the insult zone, that you can't break the insult zone. And the
right.
Next one was the timing, the sequence.
Oh, okay.
The sequence. That's the critical nature on that. It's not something you can wait on. It needs to be usually done. I would recommend the same presentation or the same phone call for it to work. Because if you do it the next week or the next day, it just doesn't have the same effect.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other questions out there? All right. With that, everyone have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Same time, same channel?
Same time, same channel. Until we change it, it'll be on the same place.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.